The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
I'm going to give you something that I continue to learn. I have, being a good teacher, I write objectives for my lessons, and so I have two objectives today. One is specifically just to please God, as it's written in Psalm 19, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to him, and that's up to him. And the second one is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the words of your heart will be encouraged and that you will be strengthened to do and say things that are pleasing to God. So I want to take a moment to say that I don't know what your spiritual goals are or what the state is of your spiritual life, but God's been talking to me for a few years about the idea of being real. And there are so many opportunities in life to put forward something that is not authentic. I think of Facebook. Not that anybody's trying to look like they have a great life on Facebook. I don't think that's really happening, but yes, I do. Facebook is a great tool, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I can look at it for 5 minutes, and if I'm just in the right frame of mind, I go away thinking, what am I doing with my life? I'm so boring. I don't know. You've probably never had that experience, but I have. So I'm just trying to let God talk to me about being real and staying connected to him every minute, 24/7, as much as I can. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of walking with a friend and talking. And with a good friend, sometimes you don't even complete your sentences, but you know that they get the gist of what you say. And I'm trying to think about that in my walk and my friendship with God and realize that even though yesterday I had a whole bunch of unfinished thoughts in my head, that surely the God of the universe understood what I meant. Because otherwise I start beating myself up about prayer and saying, you don't even know how to pray. And so we're just talking about that. And so I'm just trying to be connected. And so my messages are coming out of that struggle that I have. So God has been very gracious and continuing a conversation with me. And before I talk about what that conversation is, I want to say, now it might just be me, but I wonder if any of you have ever had the experience of purchasing something that you already have enough of. Oh, there's people looking at each other. There's people like, you know, don't hurt each other, don't elbow each other. But maybe it's just me, but I have some examples. I'm a penaholic. Oh, she got a smile there. I'm a penaholic. I can buy blank notebooks and be too afraid to write in them. I have some scarves. I have some shoes. I have some clothes. Let's get some guy examples going. Although guys sometimes have shoes and clothes. How about tools? How about bungee cords or other things? Okay, it's probably just me. Very quickly, since I'm a teacher who likes people to process, and if you don't want to talk, this is not supposed to make anyone feel uncomfortably, but very quickly, when I say go at your table, would you talk to the people at your table and just listen if you want to? Do you ever have the problem with buying things you already have enough of? Would you just talk about that? Go. The conversation that God has been gracious in continuing with me is about the subject of enough. And it is an ever-present topic in life in some form. And so it sounds like this. How much is enough? Do I have enough? Will I have enough? Can I ever have enough? Am I enough? I'm not enough. What if I don't have enough? Enough is enough. Can you have too much of a good thing? And I am finding out that God has a lot to say about this subject. He's been talking to me about it for 5 years, specifically. I want to put this in context. This is not an anti-stuff message. It's not about the theology of selling your possessions or a name it and claim it kind of abundance. When it comes to enough, I'm not just talking about stuff. I'll talk about material, physical stuff, and I'm going to talk about the stuff on our insides of our heart and our mind stuff. And I know that there are people in the world who literally don't have enough to do their physical life. But I'm talking today about the place. This is where we live now. We live in this community. We do our lives here. And I'm just talking about you and your relationship with God, me and my relationship with God, how what you think and believe about the concept of enough flows into your life and how you love and serve God every day. So the first thing I want to talk about is this, the enough that involves the actual physical stuff. Some time ago, when I first began to be aware of my behaviors and attitudes about stuff, I started a list of things I have enough of. I listed everything I could think of and then added to it as additional things come up. I've done this exercise several times, and it's become crystal clear to me that I am often in search of and focused on stuff I already have enough of. So I've been asking the question, why all this searching and longing? What's the deal with the desire for another one instead of what I have? Wanting a different one instead of the one I have. This problem seems as old as Adam and Eve. Why did they need another tree to eat from when they already had all the other ones? So as God has been patiently working with me about this, here are some things I'd like to suggest as starting places in just the material, physical part of enough. The first thing I would suggest is that we have to realize that a primary reason this longing continues is because we are not at home in this world. We're always looking for something, and God's enemy is happy to oblige us with many things to take God's place. So we have an enemy whose sole goal it is to distract us from God and our love for him. And so number one on our list when we think about why do I try to seek stuff that I already have, the enemy is active and he is after us. And he will just, if you think you're focused, he will just kind of, you know, go along the way rolling the boulders in your path or rolling the shiny stuff in your path. Whatever is shiny and distracting to you, it doesn't matter what it actually looks like. It's the stuff thing. The second thing I would suggest that has helped me is do that I have enough of list. This is just a step towards awareness. If you are not consciously thinking about this, and if you are fixating on something, spending energy on something that you want that you already have, but you want another one or a better one. And so even if you don't put money on your list anywhere, if you start the list, you might be surprised what you find. And it's just important to recognize that want is a universal longing sometimes, no matter what how much money we have. And so starting an enough, I have enough of list. And after you begin this list, the third thing that you can do is ask yourself the question, am I using what I already have to honor and serve God? Just a simple question to ask, and he'll be gracious to answer you and give you thoughts. And just see what pops up. For me, it's been the amount of stuff I have stored somewhere from throughout my life that no one is using. And he's been really helping me get rid of it. And the other thing is, he's been prompting me to give things away. I mean, sometimes just literally in the moment, you like it? Here, you can have it. It is good for us. And I have found that there, no matter how I feel, if I get something that I want, let's just pretend it's a scarf. If somebody said, I like that, and I took it off and I gave it to somebody else, I am finding that the feeling of love and communion that I have with God in that moment is better than anything I ever purchase. I'm not doing it all the time. There are sometimes I don't heed the voice, but it's something that as I've asked the question, am I serving God with what I already have? He is answering that with some certain things, and I assume that if you ask that question too, he will tell you what to do because he loves you and you're in a relationship with him. The fourth thing I would say is try turning wants into prayerful questions. And so for me, this has been things like, what am I really, if I find myself cruising Amazon, I think stuff like, what is it I really want here? And what is it I'm really trying to get? And is that some kind of need God can provide and that I'm just not paying attention to him? So prayerful questions. As another step towards awareness, I would say make a list of what you don't have enough of, but don't put anything material on it. It's pretty obvious that some days I don't have enough patience, I don't have enough wisdom or gentleness or self-control. So if you make a list of things you don't have enough of, don't put the material stuff on it. And then talk to God about that list. And for me, it sounds like in the car, I'm going into a conversation. I'm not sure I have the right words. I'm not sure I have enough physical energy to do what I need to do today. I'm certain I don't have enough wisdom to do what I need to do right now. Or when my kids were little, it was pretty certain I don't have the patience I need right now. So those are some challenges. So in the physical world, that's just some things to think about. So I want to switch gears about from the physical and think about what we'll call the intangible enough. And this is what I wrote in my journal along this way. I'm thinking about the flow of life in the day-to-day, week-to-week, and thinking that one of the constant themes is not accomplishing enough in every day of every week. I don't get enough done at work. I don't support people well enough. I don't get enough tasks done. I don't connect with people enough about enough of the right stuff. I don't do enough to support my kids or other family members, and I'm not a good enough friend. I don't clean enough or exercise enough or eat enough of the healthy stuff or drink enough water. I can't find enough time to do some of the things I really want to do. I don't spend enough time being intimately connected to God, and I don't read my Bible enough, and I don't pray enough. Now, it's probably just me. I'm totally willing to say that I'm standing up here and it's probably just me. And then I started looking at the Bible through the lens of enough. And here's what I found. First, I read John chapter 6. Isn't it so cool the way that when we start thinking about things and we really kind of open that channel to God, he has things to say. So he said some things. So from the Message, which is designed to be a readable Bible, he said in John chapter 6, a huge crowd was following Jesus because they were attracted by the miracles. Jesus and his disciples climb a little way up the side of a hill, and the large crowd is hanging out. And in verse 5, when Jesus looked out and saw that large crowd that had arrived, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough bread to feed these people?" He said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 silver pieces wouldn't be enough to buy bread for each person to get a piece. One of the disciples, it was Andrew, brother to Simon Peter, said, "There's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this." And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down. There was a nice carpet of green grass in this place," and they sat down, about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took the bread and, having given thanks, gave it to those who were seated. He did the same with the fish. And all ate as much as they wanted. They had enough and they had leftovers. So here's how this went in my head. Really, Jenny? You think the God that did this, literally the God of the universe, the God who made everything that has ever come into being, can't get enough done through you in your day? Really? Have you ever been with your kids when they finally realize something you've been trying to teach them? This happened to me with my oldest son when we were in Grand Junction, and I was going to do some shopping, and he was a teenager, and he had his own money, and I said, why don't you just go to Cold Stone Creamery and get yourself some ice cream while I'm shopping? And he said, "I can't just keep spending $4 here and $5 there on my debit card, Mom. It adds up." And this was one of those mom moments that sounds like this in your head. No, kidding! I've been trying to teach you this for years. And when I read John chapter 6 in the middle of my enough thinking, that's the moment I had. No kidding, Jenny. So you think that maybe you could let God be the boss and judge of what enough is in your day? I am still working on that. It's to me right now, it sounds like I'm going to get up and I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can today on the things that I think are the right things to do. I'm going to consult God about what those things are, and then I'm going to go to bed at night and I'm going to sleep and know that the sky isn't going to fall because I didn't get everything on my list done. The important thing, the more important thing, is to be connected to Him in the day so you know when to veer away from the checklist to do the important thing. I mean, that's what Jesus did. He stopped at the well. He talked to people that other people said, "Can we just get them out of here?" Jesus saw what needed to be done. And I have to trust the Holy Spirit that He can do that through me. A little bit more that he had to say about this. Genesis 1, this is pretty basic to our faith. God created the heavens and the earth, all you see and all you don't see. I could stop right there. Seems like enough. God formed man out of the dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. And God used the rib that he had taken from the man to make woman. I've never made anything come alive. I've killed some plants, but never made anything come alive. Seems like God has quite a bit of power. Seems kind of silly for me to be worried about enough. So consistently. Romans 5. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've never died for anyone. That makes me feel downright ashamed about worrying as often as I do. 2 Peter 1:3. God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Everything seems like it should be considered enough. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can endure it. God is telling me that he has a plan and the ability to complete the plan. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. He's in fact telling me that his power can be displayed in my weakness. I find that extraordinary. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 4, everyone who drinks of the water will never be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water, at the well he said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So it feels like he's got a message for us about what we think about what is enough and what we're seeking. And maybe throughout all history, it's been true. But I think about in these dark, legitimately depressing times when you watch the news, I would like to be a bubbling fount of refreshing for the people that I meet. And I think that that's what we're called to be. So I'm just working on it. And like I said, some days I don't show up in very good condition. But if I look in the right place, which is to God, and not to these other things, I find that he's perfectly willing to fill me up to bubble over. This is such a small list in Scripture. I haven't even touched on the people who came to Jesus without enough. They came as beggars, and one of the most profound stories to me in the Bible, and it makes me emotional, is the woman who had had the issue of blood, who pushed herself through that sweaty mob of people in order to just get at the hem of his robe, because she knew if she could just touch that, she'd be okay. People came to Jesus with a pitiful amount of anything, of money, of faith, of courage, to which he consistently responded that their little was more than enough. So I ask you, how would your relationship with God change if you approach every day as if God is enough? Have you ever argued with somebody who has a lot of buts? A 2-year-old, a teenager, a coworker, a spouse? It sounds, but, and someone says, that's enough. And I offer you this scenario, which I believe is realistic. But God, I'm afraid. That's okay. I won't ask anything of you I'm not prepared or capable to help you with. But God, it's hard. I know, but my power works amazingly inside of your weakness. But God, I hurt. I know you do, and my grace is sufficient. But God, enough. In fact, the way God said enough is, it is finished. God became a man in space and time history. He took on flesh, bone, and blood, and without us asking, he bled and died. And he said, if I do this, I am calling it enough for all. For all time, for all people, this is my grace, and it is enough. Occasionally, Dave shares out of a book called Jesus Calling, and it's written by Sarah Young, and she wrote it as though God was speaking to her, and I would normally not be attracted to such a book. I would have a lot of questions. I don't treat it as the word of God itself. However, it has spoken to me and drawn me closer to God in certain instances. So, and I try to consistently make sure that it matches up with Scripture. I want to read one section from that book in closing today. I am calling you to a life of constant communion with me. Basic training includes learning to live above your circumstances, even while interacting on the cluttered plane of life. You yearn for a simplified lifestyle so that your communication with me can be uninterrupted. But I challenge you to relinquish the fantasy of an uncluttered world. Accept each day just as it comes and find me in the midst of it all. Talk with me about every aspect of your day, including your feelings. Remember that your ultimate goal is not to control or fix everything around you. It is to keep communing with me. A successful day is one in which you have stayed in touch with me, even if many things remain undone at the end of the day. Do not let your to-do list, written or mental, become an idol directing your life. Instead, ask my spirit to guide you moment by moment, and he will keep you close to me. And then it closes with 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually, as well as Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So let's pray. Lord, as I speak these words again, I am conscious of how much I appreciate your continuous teaching of us. Thank you for continuing to teach me things over and over again, even though I feel like I should get it by now. And so we come to you collectively as one body, wanting to do your work in our lives, wherever we are, wherever our jobs are, whoever we work with, in our families. We want to be tuned into you and not chasing after the idea that enough resides someplace else besides in you. May we fervently latch onto this truth and be in your word and be connected to you, and know that if my heart or my mind speaks in an incomplete sentence, it's still prayer. You still hear the cry of our hearts and you understand our thoughts. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing in each one of us. Each one of us is at a different place. Some of those places, they're similar to each other, and someone in this room could be in a completely different place than I am. But we're all on the path climbing, and we do look forward to the day when we will rest in you. And all of our days will be filled with praise and understanding instead of questions and confusion and the violence of the world and the darkness we're surrounded by. Bubble up in us, and may we overflow with life-giving water wherever we are, whoever we're with this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit